Good morning, Philippines. Welcome to the first podcast from the Department of Psychology of Holy Angel University. I am Mary Beth Mendoza, your host for today's podcast. In this episode, we will talk about discrimination regarding mental health in our country. I invited two guests who are very familiar with the topic. Our first guest is a very beautiful mom, a motivational speaker, and a passionate advocate regarding mental health. Please welcome Ms. Christine Burnett Treco Bugna.
Thank you, Ms. Mary Beth.
Our second guest is a renowned researcher who published several researches about mental health, stigma, and discrimination. Please welcome, with great honor, let me introduce to you Ms. Micaela Ria Magno, our guest researcher. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Okay, so I would like to start by asking the first question. What is the status of mental health in the Philippines, and how does prejudices of the Filipinos lead to discrimination?
All right. Once again, good morning. Before, mental health in the Philippines was not that acknowledged, and the discrimination and stigma is highly observed. The prejudices regarding the conditions about those who are practicing and suffering were negatively perceived. Mental health practitioners were stereotyped as those who only deal with hopeless and incurable patients in mental hospitals, and those who were suffering were stigmatized as one, severely insane people. Giving false statements about different mental health conditions that falls into just one incurable and societal disruptive one. The World Health Organization Assessment Instrument for Mental Health System, or WHO AIMS, was used to collect information on the mental health system in the Philippines. The goal of collecting this information is to improve the mental health system and to provide a baseline for monitoring the change. This will enable the Philippines to develop information-based mental health plans with clear baseline information and targets. It will also be useful to monitor progress in implementing reform policies, providing community services, and involving users, families, and other stakeholders in mental health promotion, prevention, care, and rehabilitation.
Right, and according to my research, the Philippines used to have a national mental health policy. This was signed by Secretary of Health Manuel M. De Rit. There is no mental health legislation and the laws that govern the provision of mental health services. In various parts of promulgated laws such as Penal Code, Magna Carta for Disabled Person, Family Code, Land the Dangerous Drug Act, etc. The country spends about 5% of the total health budget on mental health, and substantial portion of it are spent on the operation and maintenance of the mental hospitals. Mm-hmm. But today, the mental health bill signed by Senator Risa Ontiveros opened doors and created a significant change in today's mental health status. This encouraged a lot of professionals to be of service and become advocates. This was also made Filipinos more comfortable in disclosing their conditions and making us all aware about the available services offered and supported by the government. Okay, thank you so much for those information. What are the consequences of mental health discrimination to Filipinos?
All right. So since the government allotted only just a small fraction of budget, according to Ms. Ria, people try to set aside and people are not aware of what mental health really is. Because of the mental health stigma, people are always, always afraid to seek professional help since they are afraid that they may experience discrimination and if people will know about their mental dilemmas. And an example of mental health discrimination can be found in the workplace, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And according to the study of Diego Luis and S. Santiago in 2017, psychological disorders are not included in the Employees Compensation Commission's table of occupational diseases. The only mention of anything remotely connected to mental issues is found in the case of cerebrovascular accidents, wherein there must be a history which should be proof of trauma at work due to unusual and extraordinary physical or mental strain. So another consequence is the feelings of shame, hopelessness, and isolation.
Yes, that's true. But I also see sparks of hope, courage, and resilience. And I am actually in awe of the men, women, and children around the world who are transforming adversity into advocacy for themselves and others. And together, we will create communities of hope, empathy, and inclusion where our diagnosis will no longer deter us from living the lives of our dreams. By the way, a person who is suffering from depression or other mental disorders feels reluctant to disclose their conditions to their support groups, such as family members and peers, because it may connote negatively to their entitlements, as if they were holding this badge of shame. And we all know that the first step towards treatment is a support from the primary support group, right? Like, mm-hmm. Especially our families, right? But to get to introduce the condition and to make them understand and become aware of the thing that is happening inside is seemingly the hardest part because of the stigma that were built years and years ago. Say, for example, a mother who has a child with Down syndrome might feel hopeless about her child's condition because of the lack of knowledge and lack of support coming from the family. Situations like family gatherings might invoke false and negative conversations about the child and may lead to the mother's depression and low self-esteem. And she might actually feel hopeless over time and could result into an inappropriate and inadequate treatment for her child. And another factor is bullying, physical violence, or harassment. Personally, my cousin has autism, and she went to a private school with students who are normal because her mom was afraid of the family's our feedback to her daughter and wanted her to be treated as normal, resulting to my cousin being bullied at school. I actually remember her crying after school. She was on a role play that day, and the character that she played was a beast. To think that this might not be a problem, but it is to my cousin. To her, it was bullying in a subtle way.
Talking about stigma and mental health condition, why do you think there is a stigma associated with mental health conditions?
Okay, yes. Myths and misperceptions about mental health conditions and the people who live with them are what lead to the stigma. Okay, so in my experience, mental illness is a taboo topic in many cultures, and people living with mental health conditions are often afraid of how speaking up and sharing their stories that could affect their lives and livelihoods. So unfortunately, the less we talk about it, the less we are able to humanize and normalize mental health issues. But if we talk about them more, we have a better chance of breaking the cycle of stigma, prejudice, and discrimination.
How do you think it's possible to reduce mental health discrimination, especially in the workplace?
Oh yes, of course, it is possible. The first thing we need to do is to remove the stigma about mentally challenged individual. We need to let people know that mental health conditions are common and treatable. This should be talked openly, just like any other physical conditions. Because of the stigma, negative stereotypes about mental illnesses persist both in and out of the workplace, even in schools actually. People who are having mental health needs are frequently perceived as irresponsible, lazy, and most of all, dangerous, which is wrong. Hence, people may experience rejection, bullying, and discrimination. Ending this is completely a constant battle. So how do we reduce it? Simply, we need to end the stigma about mental health individually. Fighting stigma by creating awareness, encouraging, and challenging false beliefs. This will start by breaking the silence around mental illnesses and educating people about things like, for example, the proper language when talking about mental illnesses. Because mental illnesses are used as adjective, which connotes negative or unfavorable attitudes. People need to see the person as a whole, not just his or her condition. And a strong support system is needed by those people who seek help. Lastly, employers, government, and other private organizations need to lead by example. When employers and leaders speak about mental health, they have the power to send a powerful message to employees.
Yes, and I will just like to add this, Ms. Maribeth. Kaiser Permanente, Chairman and CEO Bernard J. Tyson, is an outspoken mental health and wellness advocate. So, working to promote awareness both within the organization and in a society at large, in a piece he published on LinkedIn, and redefining mental health for a 21st century world, Tyson writes, improving mental health care is not only an industry issue, it has become a critical societal issue. Our nation's ability to address mental health in a holistic, comprehensive way may just determine how successful we ultimately are in our quest to improve the health and the world. We must tackle and remove the stigma associated with seeking mental health care.
Okay, we talked about reducing mental health. So let's talk about solving it. Do you think it is possible to combat mental health stigma in the workplace now?
Yes, of course. And even in other places, people are experiencing mental health problems such as anxiety or depression. Especially here now on our college, telling our friends, families, colleagues, and employers can be incredibly hard, right? But it's not just the workers who struggle to talk openly about mental illnesses.
Yes, in according to this, figures published by the Association of Teachers and Lecturers earlier this year found that more than a third of school and college staff have noticed a rise in mental health issues among colleagues in the past year. But 68% kept them a secret from their bosses, while employees worry about mental health issues being seen as a sign of weakness. A survey by Time to Change found that 1 in 4 employees experiencing mental health problems did not want to go to work, college or university, because they were worried about what would people would say.
Yes. Oh, okay. So for that situation, creating an open culture around mental illnesses and challenging discrimination is vital, especially for us, students and teachers and professionals. Once we experience our mental dilemmas, we have to seek help. Remember this, we have to seek professional help because we are helping ourselves in this situation. Okay,
thank you so much. So that has been a very comprehensive and powerful information about mental health discrimination. Knowing the challenges that we still face make us knowledgeable and aware of the issues. The information and opinion you provided are the reasons to be hopeful that these problems can be reduced or be solved in the future. So thank you so much for sharing your time and sharing your knowledge and opinion about this issue. So I hope to have you again in the next podcast.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Miss Maribeth.
Thank you so much, Miss Jereco and Miss Magno.
Yes.
So thank you also for giving us your time to listen to our podcast. I hope to see you again. Thank you. Thank you so much. 5-1 Talk Philippines. Amber Fashion Design. Magno Medical Group. McDonald's Philippines.